Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm giving you the ins and outs on a fantasy that's been becoming a lot more popular lately, cuckolding, and I'm taking your calls. Topics include, so your spouse turns into a jerk every time you come back from vacation. What is the deal? Writing your own erotica, why it can be incredibly hot. Okay, you want to take your husband to a strip club, but you're a little nervous. How do you get over the jitters? All this and more. Thanks for listening. Jamie, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
How much do you love woo more play?
Like a lot. Maybe a little too much.
Dude, I mean, woo more. Okay, we are talking about woo more play's coconut love oil. And it really is the loveliest oil that you just rub on your body, you use with a partner. It's an all natural lube made by our friends Lauren and Michael from the Skinny Confidential podcast. And they're a sexy couple. Like, sometimes I just like to think of like Lauren and Michael rolling around. Like, of course, like they're the sexiest couple ever. And then they make a sexy product.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
I just thought about that.
And now,
like, of course they are. Like, go to their stuff. You're like, oh, can I be sexy like them? They're probably using Woo More Play. Okay, here's the deal with it. It's organic virgin coconut oil that feels, smells like it actually tastes like heaven. It's like delicious. You want to eat it.
Like if I thought of what heaven was.
If you thought of heaven, it tasted like this, like vanilla-y, coconutty deliciousness. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, I have to say, it's definitely the best oil-based lube I've ever tried. You can't just walk into the store and get some coconut oil, like on the market, the supermarket, and call it a day. Like, Woo More Play, specifically designed as a sexy lubricant, and not to mention a massage oil as well. Not a cooking oil. So, like, don't use it to, like, stir fry. Don't use the stuff that you use to stir fry on your body. But this stuff is, like, great for your skin because it's, like, that vanilla essence. It has, like, beeswax, stevia. But that's it. Nothing bad for you. Nothing synthetic. You could literally eat it off. I think it's designed to, like, lick it off your partner.
It tastes good.
It tastes good. But the other thing is that you don't have to, like, wipe it off. Like, it's funny because I gave some to my friend, came over the other night. I'm like, here you go. Because I always give her little treats. And I was like, and I had her put it on her hands. And she was like, oh my God. Like, I use it, like, as a moisturizer, like, too, after you have sex or wherever you use it. Give your partner a massage. Your whole body is smooth and soft. And the coconut oil also that they use is actually antifungal, antibacterial, and anti-inflammatory. So you can leave it on because it's got, like, healing properties.
I love that.
I know. I can, like, replace all my supplements now, maybe. Do you think I could just ingest Woo More Play and I would be healed?
I mean, probably not, but.
Okay, guys, you know we're the lube experts, so just trust us. When we say you need to try Woo More Play, you got to. You got to do it. To get some, go to sexwithemily.com/woo. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/WOO, and use code Emily at checkout for a very special discount.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check everything out at sexwithemily.com. Have you been there lately? It is awesome. You can also comment and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to the show. We love that. And you can find our podcast everywhere. You can also find me on SiriusXM Radio Stars. It's channel 109. And I'm there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. And wow, is it fun. You guys can call in. Ask your questions. Instead of emailing your questions, ask your questions. 888-947-8277. You can just go. But if you want a free trial, you're like, I don't have Sirius. Check it. It's sexwithemily.com/SXM. You're going to like it. And as always, all social media at sexwithemily because it's awesome. We love when you follow us there. We like communicating with you there too. You can send us messages. You can say hello. You can slide into my DMs. All right, guys. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm going to break down some fantasies for you. Just one tonight. But in this continuing education that we do here on the show, it's fun to kind of highlight a fantasy every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is called cuckolding, and it's been around for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? It's like cuckolding is essentially when a penis owner, or a man, but we're trying to be more. Can we?
You can gender specific. Yeah, you can be fine.
We're trying to be more gender neutral here for people. You know, a penis owner gets off on seeing their partner have sex with another penis owner, usually one that's larger, and mostly has to do with the humiliation aspect of the other person being able to give more pleasure. So an example might be like, you really want to see your wife. You love seeing your wife having a lot of pleasure, so much so that you want to see someone else give it to her. Someone that maybe can do it more than you can. Like, maybe he's even a greater lover. And there's something about being the observer and not the person involved that just turned you on. There's a certain taboo aspect to it, you know, and maybe your wife's giving you the go-ahead and you found someone who agreed to do this. And while the new person is having sex with their wife, you're staring at her, she's staring at you. She's vocalizing how amazing this person is making her feel. And that's kind of what the fantasy is. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. So there's some reasons why this is popular. And it's also gained some popularity in recent years in the gay community, which it wasn't as much so because gay men don't have much of restrictions around monogamy, like as far as like people in gay relationships tend to have, you know, more partners. So it's not as taboo. It's like lifelong monogamy isn't mm-hmm. essentially a thing as much. But there's something under the umbrella of cuckolding for about like fantasies and voyeurism and group sex that can also reach in the gate. Cuckolding, like with your partner, mm-hmm. can kind of include all of those things. So here's why, though, it's popular. Like, there's a lot of reasons. The humiliation, taboo. It's taboo. It is taboo, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of our fantasies have to do with doing something that we're not supposed to do, right? So for heterosexual couples, that can kind of break the whole non-monogamy thing, because monogamy is our standard here and we all think that we should just be monogamous. Mm-hmm. But to kind of think, well, it's not really cheating, or it's not really, it still is monogamy if I'm in the room and I'm watching. For same-sex couples, more about group sex and voyeurism. And so cuckolding, there's some, usually it just means that there is some humiliation, degradation, denial aspect to it, whether it's in our minds or said aloud by our partner. So that's what it is. And here's my tips for it. Because it is 58% of men, it said, have this fantasy, and mm-hmm. like 20-something percent of women. So it's common. And I thought this is, and we've had a lot of calls about this on the show, and people even have this fantasy and they feel some guilt about it or shame or that it's really wrong. But the truth is, like, couples who have actually practiced this have healthy sex life and mm-hmm. have reported that it actually was really, when it went down well, it was executed well, and there was positive side effects to it. But so first, you guys talk about it beforehand. You might think you have this fantasy. More people than you think have this fantasy, but for some, it's a fetish, which means that like it's required each time you have sex. So you got to discuss it. You got to be like, it's just a thing I want to try out, or let them know what part of it, like what you think it means to you and how it would go down, setting boundaries and understand why you're asking for it, why you want it. The best you can, because the more you understand it and the more you don't filter yourself, if you actually have gotten up the courage, which I hope you do, to talk to your partner about any fantasy, that's not the time to be like, I want to try cuckolding. And then she just says it to your wife and she goes, well, what do you picture? What's the person look like? And you've thought about the man's penis mm-hmm. and what it looks like. But at that point, you decide to shut down. And then you're left her scrambling for the detail. It's like, if you're going to talk about it, talk it through in great detail, in depth. What does it look like to you? Because I think this is why a lot of sex conversations we have with our partners, we try and we're like, it doesn't go anywhere. Because we say it, we really need to have more sex. And then it, okay, well, what should we do? Well, let's just put on our calendar. And then you don't do anything else. Like, there has to be a lot more discussion, a lot more work involved. And don't do it. Listen, you don't want to do it because, like, let's spice ourselves. You know, let's spice this up. Let's invite over some dude to have sex with us. No. Like, you don't do any of these things, or a threesome, or have a child to spice up your sex life.
No.
Well, in order to keep you close. I always say child because people used to always say, like, oh, you're going to have a kid to make things better between the two of you. So don't use it to spice it up. And make sure that you're always using protection, you guys. Mm-hmm. You got to have protection and you got to have an exit strategy. You want to have condoms on hand. Make sure the person's joining you has been tested. Have a safe word. All the rules I have for bringing in another person or a few people into your relationship. And like, know what it's going to look like after. Like, what, you know, is the person leaving? Are you guys, you have to do some kind of aftercare with your partner to feel more intimate again with each other. So
I think that's something that people don't think about enough.
Aftercare in general?
Because, like, I've always thought about, so it's done. The completion has happened.
Yeah.
So what happens next?
They're like, your Uber will be here in 2 minutes.
Yeah. Like, how do you, is there a way? Cause,
no, I mean, you have to decide. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I guess I've always wondered, like, when we, especially in these kinds of situations. So this is like a couple looking for a third. So obviously the couple are very invested in themselves, and the third is like the person that's coming in to aid in some way. But I always think about, like, how does the third person feel?
Right. Well, I think that if you do it in a healthy way, no matter if it's a threesome or cuckolding or swapping, whatever, you have to, like, talk all of this through, and you want to know the person enough. Like, if it, let's say it's someone you're like, let's say you've decided, because here's the thing, Jane, it's different every time you bring someone in. Like, you might have, let's say there was a third and you all had drinks together before you went to dinner or something, you met up before and you're like, I actually like this person. Maybe it'd be hot to, like, take a hot tub after and just have a few drinks and then, you know, tell them we don't want sleepovers but still hang out. Mm. Or maybe it's someone that you just met online and you talk on the phone, you're like, we're just gonna have you there and then we're just gonna finish up, and of course then we're gonna continue our evening and you're gonna leave. Like, you're going to leave, like, let them know. So I think you got to break it down.
Oh, so you have to, because you, so the, you talk about it with your partner, but then you also, like,
talk about it with the third person.
Yeah, like, really
let them know
out.
The plan. I think we're not good at that stuff. I think we just are like, well, we got the person here and now we don't know. So I love that you asked that question, because that can be awkward. If you thought the person was going to stay for a while for dinner and your husband's like, no, get him out of the house. You know?
Yeah, because I don't know why. I guess because I feel like I would never be, if I was going to engage in something like this, and I don't know, who knows, but I feel like I would always be that third person. Like, I wouldn't be the couple looking for.
Yeah.
So I would want to know, like, what do I just, like, Irish exit, like, grab my clothes and leave? Or,
well,
like,
this one time, I think it depends. This one time I hooked up with a couple. I did go home with a couple from the Playboy Mansion.
Amazing story, by the way. What the hell?
Have I never told you that story? Maybe not.
It might, maybe.
So anyway, it was fun. And I didn't know them. And it was a long time ago. But I went home with them and it ended up being amazing. And I slept in their bed in between them. And then I woke up in the morning. And so I.
You slept in between them?
Yeah, it was cute. I did.
Oh, well,
because I'm so cuddly. I don't know.
So were they both big spooning you? Or was it like a chain of spoons? Like, big spoon, medium spoon, little spoon?
I think it was everything.
Yeah. All the spoons.
All the spoons. Well, think of all the options. Usually there's just two spoons. When you add a third spoon, the possibilities are endless.
That sounds sweet.
Yeah. Too bad we can't go. Yeah. Well, we could go to Playboy.
So what if you just had a threesome for cuddling?
Literally, that's all I want right now. My tummy hurts. I just want to invite over all my ex-boyfriends that were good cuddlers this weekend. And, like, there will be no dick. There will be no penis. Just cuddle me. Cuddle me. Cuddle me. But then they'd want a blowjob. No. Okay. So the other thing I want to say about cuckolding before we get back to this is that if you are somebody, like, do not try this at home. Here's this announcement. If you are someone who has a lot of anxiety in your relationship around abandonment issues, you're worried, you know, you don't have great communication. You're, like, acting on a, like, consensual, non-monogamous fantasy might not be your jam. It could be a negative experience. So this is like, when I say you talk about it beforehand, your partner might be like, no. And there's different kinds of no's, though. There's the, like, hey, I want to watch you have sex with another man. And she's like, ew, no, what do you mean? That's crazy. That's probably going to happen unless you sit down, you explain it, you talk about why it's hot to you, why it turned you out. Like, you need to do some work on your own before you bring it up. So, like, but then once they think about it, you walk it through, and then there could still be a, I don't think I could handle it. I think I'd be too jealous, or I think it would be. So these are all the kind of conversations you have to have.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, I figure maybe that's really what it is. People are like, so we never talked about sex, and then I brought up our sex life, and I was like, I want you to fuck another man.
Boom.
I would be like, hold on.
Yeah, yeah, boom. Exactly. This is the problem. So.
So how can you ease him into
it? Okay, thank you. This is not like, hey, we've never talked about our sex life in 22 years. Would you mind having sex with the gardener? He's hot.
Oh my God.
Although I would. My gardener is hot. I swear to God. Yesterday when I was sick, he was gardening and I was sleeping sick on the couch with the light. I was like sleeping in the middle of the day. Sick, sleeping. Slipping. Sick and sleeping, and the sun was coming in. I think I looked beautiful and sick because the sun was coming in and the curtains were open and he was gardening and I could hear him and I looked up and he looked at me and I'm like, no, he didn't see me yet. I mean, we didn't make eye contact, but he's super hot gardener. Anyway, I don't know.
Anyways, so someone's trying to have a sexual fantasy conversation in their apartment. Sans
loving
gardener.
This. Loving this.
You can't quiet laugh on the radio. If you're gonna laugh, you have to like project your.
I did quiet laugh because it was gonna be a really loud laugh.
And you didn't want it to disturb the neighbors.
Yeah. Go ahead. What was your question?
How do you ease them into the fantasy?
Okay, this is how you do it. You're like, you realize you're like Tim, right? Who called? You want to spice it up. You haven't talked about it in a while, and it's been 22 years. He can't be like, you know what would really help? He has to say, this is what I was going to say to Tim, is that, and everyone who's been in a relationship where you've never talked about it, I got to put this out there. Love our sex life. Love you. You're beautiful. You're amazing. Our sex life's awesome. I happen to know, I've been listening to this show every night. It's like brainwashing me, and what she's taught me is that like, oh, sex doesn't get great. Sex isn't actually even going to work. There's, you know, unless we prioritize it and we talk about it. And I've never been in a relationship, babe, that I've talked about it. Have you? No, you neither? Okay, cool. We're in the same place. And I don't even know what that really looks like because I love you and sex is great. But I know that we got to get on the same page with it. We got to prioritize it. And I want to find out, like, what turns you on? Like, do you have any fantasies you want to share with me? You know, there's two kinds of fantasies, babe. There's the kind that you don't have to share with me that you'd like to just think about. And there's the ones that you actually want to try. Like, do you ever think about being with another woman? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about having sex outdoors? Like, let me know. And she's like, well, yeah. And then you just start having it. You're like, I want to prioritize it. So that's it. And then you could even do a thing where you say, let's make a bucket list. Let's each write down three things that we want to try in the bedroom and swap that list. That's a great place to start. And then you've started your conversation and then you keep talking about it, keep talking. And then you're like, you know what? One that I didn't have on the list, now that we're getting all frisky and we're getting more sexual and we're opening up and we're prioritizing our pleasure and we realize that sex has unlimited potential and that not only can our friendship get better in this 25-year relationship, but it's actually possible for our sex life to get better in 25, 30, 40, 50 years if we just talk about it and prioritize it. What I want is to cuckold. That's when you bring it up. No, I mean, I was continuing.
Yeah.
But you build it. You don't just drop it, but you.
So even on
this doesn't take long, you guys. It's okay if it's been 20 years or 10 years or even 6. You've never talked about it. You can start tonight when you're driving home. You can have that exact conversation. And say, gee, I don't know. It's some way, but it works, I guess. Even if you want to do it preventively because you don't want to, like, you know, it's great now, but like you see what happens to people who don't talk about it. Bring it up.
So you wouldn't put it on the initial sexual bucket list. You're like, start basic.
Do not put it on the initial bucket list is what I'm going to. For most people, if they've, because most people don't know cuckolding.
They don't. They would be like, what? Okay. Also, fun fact, there is no H in that word.
Cuckolding?
Yeah.
Cuckolding.
A lot of people think there's like an H in it.
All right.
Like you're holding a cuck.
Cuckold. That's quite a cuckold you got there. Although that should be a word. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into your calls. A while back, I started taking a bunch of supplements and vitamins that my doctor recommended, which definitely started to improve my overall health. But honestly, it was a nightmare managing all those little bottles and packages. I even took two giant organizers around the world when I traveled. It was like my suitcase, I had to pay over for the supplements in these big clunky containers. And after a while, I just gave up. It was annoying. But then I found Care Of. And it really has changed my life. It's a monthly subscription service that sends a personalized selection of vitamins in individual daily packets. Do you hear me? They're already packaged. They're there. They're there with me all the time. I don't have to open bottles and then close bottles. And I never put the lids back on. And then I can't remember. It's like I flunked supplements on my own. So now there's no more sorting or guessing or wondering if I forgot the day, getting mad at myself for forgetting. That's just over. I get everything I need packaged and ready to go. Plus, they have an app to keep me on track. They just know me so well. They know what I need. For the first time ever, I'm remembering to take the probiotics that I need, and I already feel so much better. I think everybody needs probiotics. I mean, I'm not a health professional. Well, I kind of am. I'm telling you guys, probiotics are key. Anyway, what you do is you take a really fun 5-minute quiz. They ask about your lifestyle, your diet, your health, your goals, your stress levels. And for me, they recommended ashwagandha for brain function, which we know is the largest sex organ, and magnesium, which helps me sleep. Also good for sex. From there, I just set up my subscription and get my personalized packets delivered right to my door. They even have cute little messages on them. They're like, hi, Emily. And it makes you want to take them. I'm like, oh, hi. Hi, Care Of. Care Of now offers protein powders made with organic ingredients like cocoa and Himalayan pink sea salt. And they have vegan and vegetarian supplement options, so anyone can try it. I know taking care of your health can feel like another overwhelming item on your to-do list. And if you feel that way, you should definitely check out Care Of. Right now, my listeners can take 50% off on their first order. Just go to takecareof.com and use promo code SWE50 at checkout. That's TakeCareOf.com and use code SWE50. I am so excited to let you know you can now hear Sex with Emily live 5 days a week on Sirius XM Radio. You'll find me in Stars, channel 109, Monday through Friday at 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. But don't worry, the podcast is staying right here. My brand new radio show will have everything you love about Sex with Emily and more, because every day I'll be interviewing guests, sharing the latest news, and my favorite part, taking your calls live on the air 2 hours every weekday. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you already know how great it is. If you never tried it, get a free trial for 30 days. Just go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. That's sexwithemily.com/SXM today to try SiriusXM for yourself. See you there.
Okay, let's talk to Sheila. She's 41 in Colorado, and her husband's being a jerk. She doesn't know what to do about it.
Oh, I hate that. Hey, Sheila. Thanks for calling.
Hi. How are y'all?
Good. So good. Okay. Tell me
here's
everything.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
First off, I love you guys, and I hate when my kid's in the car with me because I can't listen to you because
when that happens.
My son's like, what's sex? Yeah. I'm like, what? What? No. Okay. So anyway, I went on vacation for 9 days with my son, and we had a great time. Everything was awesome. Came home. And, you know, did my unpacking, getting ready for school to go, rolling again, and, you know, just everything. So Sunday, got home. After the whole day was over, I got all my stuff done, got ready for the world, and then, you know, got in the shower, got myself all nice and shaved. I was, like, ready to roll with my hubs. And we had the most amazing night. And then today, he's, like, being a total dickwad, and I'm so over it. Like, he's like, you wouldn't even hang out with me on Sunday. And I was like, what?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
He's being a jerk.
All
right. He's being a jerk and just, like, going on with, I'm like, dude, we had a blast Sunday night.
Wait, okay, Sheila, wait, hold on. So you were gone for 9 days with your son without your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you came back, and the first time you saw him, which was last night or the other night, right? Sunday night, you said? You had amazing sex, and oh my God, it was great, great, great. Because you guys, it's like, that's like the chemistry, that's like the bonding thing. Like, you had to do that. It was like eating. Like, you had to have great sex because you've been separate. But it sounds like there's the now, he's like, okay, we got that out of the way. Something happened. Was he pissed he wasn't on vacation? Did he find something while you were away? Well, is he never not
that's
been this jerky before?
Yeah.
Well, you got it. Okay, so is he being a jerk in a way that he's not been a jerk before?
No, he kind of does this almost every time I go on vacation, but I'm at this point right now because I went with my best friend on vacation with her kids and my kid, and we had a blast, and it was all awesome, and he's planning a vacation on his own. We do stuff together, too, don't get me wrong, but, like, this was just happened to be, it worked out, and I feel like...
Yeah, tell me.
I kind of feel weird and used, and I feel like something's going on. We live in tiny, tiny towns, so I know... He's not, like, messing around on me. I know that's not the thing.
Has this happened?
I would find out about that.
Right, exactly. Wait, has this happened every time you go away?
Pretty much. It's either while I'm away, he turns into a total weirdo when I go or when I come home or before.
And then does it go away in a few days? What's his love languages?
Yeah,
do you know his love languages? Is his love language quality time?
No, his love language is... Honestly, he's just a selfish little man. I mean,
well, here's the thing. I'm just wondering...
I love him so much.
I know
he's
you
so
do.
He's so selfish, and he is it's well, just all over,
how long have
all
you guys been
him.
Together?
We've been together for 17 years.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like there's some needs that might need to be filled when you're gone, and he needs some extra attention right now because you were gone for 9 days, and he might know how to tell you that he needs that from you, and he might get bummed out when you leave.
Yeah.
And maybe his quality, maybe he, listen, when people really, when he craves time with you, even though you've been together for so many years, 19 years, you said? 17, yeah, my brain.
17 yeah.
years, that's a big change. Like, to be gone for 9 days, the house is full with you and your son, and then you're gone. So he's having a reaction to that,
yeah.
And he needs something that, like, most of us, we don't articulate the things, what's going on, what he needs. He might not even know what he needs, and maybe he just needs some extra time with you. Like, just the two of you, something special that's just, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like what I love here is that there's a pattern. Like, you didn't call me before the trip
right.
and say
no,
he was being a jerk.
I needed to hear this.
Yeah, this is exactly it. He just, there's
I'm
some adjustment.
I'm going to go to the grocery store.
Get him.
I'm going to the grocery store right now because I was like, I'm going to the store. I'm like,
yeah.
done with
Oh, it
tonight.
Just happened. Okay,
like,
perfect.
That's why I was like,
listen, you got to go back.
I want to fight with him about it.
Okay, well, he doesn't even know either. He's probably cranky. You were gone. You missed whatever. We don't know what it is, but go back. I'm glad you're leaving because you can go back and breathe. You can breathe in the car on the way home, like deep breaths, like four in, four out, inhale, exhale, like that resets. And then it's going to be like, you know what? I don't want to fight like this. Like, I'm so happy to be back. Like, let's just tell me what you need right now. And if he says, I don't know, just like, don't tell me. Like, try to have a different kind of conversation where you're listening and just kind of, you know him well enough if you let him talk and let him figure out what it is that he needs.
You
got to listen.
You're right.
You got to listen. I know we don't do that and I don't listen enough either. I get it. We got to listen. I mean, I listen to you. It's my job, but otherwise
right.
I don't listen to anyone. So I just listen to you all. You're lucky.
No,
so yeah, you
I'm
get
like,
it.
I'm
Sheila, I feel
perfect,
you.
So,
it's a pattern. I see it. Listen and then like literally call me back because I think that's what it is. And then he'll figure it out and then you'll be fine. And you'll actually have a breakthrough, I think, too, with him because it's going
to
be a different. It's not going to be one thing.
Any intimacy tonight?
What'd you say? Excuse me? Intimacy?
I said, should I try to intimacy?
Yes. I'm sure that I think you. Well, not. Don't lead with that. Because then you'll never have the conversation that you need to have with him.
Yeah, lead with it. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Just, you know,
he's your husband. If you want to have sex with him after 17 years, two nights in a row, yes. Have sex with him tonight. Have sex with him tomorrow night. I'm not going to never tell you not to have sex unless you're in pain. Okay?
Well,
all right.
I love you, girl.
I love you too,
you
Sheila.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking it out with me.
Yeah, girl. That's what I'm here for. Seriously, that makes so much sense. Yeah. Bye, Sheila. Thanks for calling. Let us know what happens. Honestly, that's what it felt like talking to Sheila. That's... Because when I'm not with you guys, I'm talking to my friends and they're having the same conversation. Michelle, you came over the night before I left
for
Mexico.
Yeah.
And I think three calls in a row where friends were like, this happened, that happened. And I talk it through. So in a way, I'm your like best girlfriend here.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
I kind of know what I'm talking about. I do know. I know what I'm talking about, unlike your best girlfriends who have their own agenda sometimes.
Yeah. You have better advice.
Yeah. I do have to say real quick to Sheila that she is not alone in this situation. Whenever my mom goes out of town and my dad, and I'm with my dad, he is such a brat. And he's a completely different person when my mother is not there. And then they've been together for 25 years.
Yeah.
And then when she gets home, I mean, he's not a jerk to her, but like while she's gone, he's a jerk
separation.
To me and my sister.
Yeah.
And it's a completely, when they're separated, it's a different
brain
chemistry.
Okay, let's talk to Kenny. He's 34 in Arizona, and he called in about a month ago about his fantasies, and he wants to report how it went after telling his wife.
Hey, Kenny. This is what I'm talking about.
Hi.
Hi,
Emily.
Hi,
now,
Kenny.
this whole sex crisis actually kind of affected me back in the beginning before I started listening to you. And I kind of went out on a limb. I went out on a limb before, and my wife and I had good sex, but you know you can always make sex better. So I went out on a limb and I bought her a vibrator for Christmas. And then we kind of start moving forward. And then I called in about a month ago and told you that I was writing down all these fantasies that I had.
Yes. Oh.
And I told my wife about it. And I let her, she asked to read the book.
Okay.
That I've been writing.
Okay.
And I come home from work the other day and I see her, how I presented it and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, I know what to do from here now. And it was amazing.
Like she was set up.
I don't think any of this would have happened.
Wow.
if I didn't listen to you.
Oh, Kenny, I'm so happy. That's amazing. So she was reading like, and, yeah, keep going.
Yeah, she was reading. She wrote erotica in a way.
Yeah, it was the best thing ever. I was the one, every man to be like, every person, human, write down your fan. It's so hot. If you're a writer, or you, even if you're not, just you explain to her something that you wanted or several. You wrote a book, Kenny. You're like the next 50 Shades.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows?
I probably wrote about 20. Yeah, I wrote about 20 different, you know, things that I just had in my mind. And I, like I said, I come home from work and she's, I mean, it just played out verbatim. Like everything that I had.
You
got
to tell me what happened. Kenny, either you're going to have to read part of it right now, which I actually want to hear it if you have some on you. I do. I'm not kidding, Kenny. You can call back, pick a chapter. But, or tell me what the scenario is if you don't mind. Because you keep saying she was like, was she like on the bed waiting for you? You know, what was the scenario that you knew that that meant she's down for sex right now? DTF.
So I came, I get home. And I walk in and she's kind of like propped up in the corner of the couch on a sectional and everything. And she's wearing a black lace bra with black lace panties, and her hair's down and it's over her chest and it's kind of just covering her breast a little bit and everything. And she's just got this seductive look in her eye, and there's you know, the ambiance is there, the candles are going, there's music in the background, which kind of threw me off when I walked in the door.
Right, because she's never done this before. And how long have you guys been together? How long? Just to set the stage here.
We've been together for going on 9 years, been married for 6.
Okay, keep going, we're with you.
So
you had written about like her sitting on the couch wearing black,
wearing black lingerie and everything, and then it started out on the couch. It started out with foreplay on the couch and everything, and then sex started out on the couch, and then we moved from sex into the bedroom, and in this scene, I guess call it, I wrote about how she got her vibrator out, and then there was like mutual masturbation going on, and it was so hot. Oh my god,
this is genius. This is the most genius way anyone's ever gotten their partner to use the vibrator, because you made it hot. You wrote about it and you had bought it for her 4 months ago and she never took it out of the drawer, and keep going. This is good, you guys. Do you guys all following what happened here, that he wrote it out and it happened, Cake?
I want to read it too.
She studied this.
She studied it.
Like I said, Emily, she didn't miss a step that I wrote.
Wow, that's really hot.
Even after like the mutual masturbation, she reaches under her pillow and grabs a pair of handcuffs.
Whoa, is that in the story too?
Yeah, that was all part of it and everything.
She did the whole thing. And it was hot for both of you.
Everything that I read out. Yeah, it was amazing. And then afterwards, when we're just both completely exhausted, we actually talked about it.
Wow. About how great
it was. And about how great it was and that how much fun it was.
It was fun. It wasn't that hard, right? It was fun. You guys got to play together again. You did something different than, you know, rolling, whatever was happening before this. Probably just...
Yeah, I mean, we just, you know, like
it wasn't that
before it definitely wasn't that, no, but before it would I was like 98% of the time I was always the one who had to initiate sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and everything, and I, you know, if that's the way it was going to be, then, you know, okay, I'm fine with that. But I told her, you know, it's okay for you to, you know, want to have sex with me,
right?
You know, yes, we both.
But
want
she didn't
sex,
know how to initiate
okay
it. So you gave her the plan. You gave her the tools. You like wrote it up a story, and she could have. And she was like, "Yeah, I actually agree. That's hot. I think a lot of us just We all just want to know what to do. We all just want goddamn instructions. How do I initiate sex? What is a turn on? What feels good? How do I give good oral? Like, we just want an instruction manual. And essentially, you wrote out what felt good to you. And now I'm hoping, Kenny, like, she has permission now to figure out what her fantasies are. I mean, that maybe that was part of her fantasy, you know? Who knows? You guys probably talked about this.
Right. And I told her if there's stuff that, you know, if you have your fantasies and everything, you can, you know, we can swap this and turn this all around again.
Yeah. You know? I think it's a whole new world for you guys.
It is. And like I said, before you came on the air, you know, there wasn't a lot of this, like, sex talk and everything. I was, to a degree, I was a little intimidated by my wife. Being like, well, what if she doesn't want sex tonight, but I really want sex and everything. I'm not going to force it on her because that's just rude.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of like, okay, do I do this? Do I not do this? And everything. I was too much in my head.
Yeah, exactly. Our head is our worst. We all cock block ourselves, you know, essentially. We're in our heads.
Yeah.
We really do. We are all in our heads, Ken. You're so right. You're like, you want to be a good husband and you want to force it. So that's what was going on pre-sex with Emily, pre-November, I guess, when you started listening, right?
Yeah.
Is that... So mm-hmm. You had been married, and it was just kind of like you were nervous to come home and what's going to happen. And then it was good. You were having it once or twice a week, or she wasn't initiating. And
yeah.
Now look at you. Christian Grey. Kenny.
Yeah, and it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was.
50 Shades of Kenny. Amazing. Thank you, Kenny. This is so inspiring. I hope everyone's inspired by this.
Yep.
Go write it down, share it. And she was cool. Yeah, thank you, Kenny. That was. Kenny's my hero.
That was amazing.
That was amazing. That was 888-947-8277. So to back up, if people, we gotta wrap. Let me explain to you what happened. So Kenny called in a few months ago.
About a month ago.
And in December, he's like, I don't know what to do. He started listening to the show in November. Never heard anyone talk about sex. He was in a relationship like you. I'm gonna say like you. Most of you were in a relationship. We're like, sex, it's good. We're doing it. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my partner. But it's okay. And they started hearing me talk about it. And then he thought, well, I'll buy her a vibrator for Christmas. So he buys her, and I might butcher some of this, but he bought her a vibrator for Christmas. He did. And he calls in early March. So he probably calls a month ago. And he says, Emily, I don't know what to do. I bought her a vibrator. She's not using it. And, you know, I'm trying to spice it up. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to write it out. And he started writing fantasies. He started writing down his fantasies, like erotica. And then I think at the point when he called, had he just given it to her? He wasn't sure what to do. We didn't even get there, but I think he said to her, I think he was asking, do I just give him to her? And I said, well, I think you don't just land. I don't think you just say, like, here you go. I didn't know it was a novel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just first open it up and say, you know what? I really want to talk about our sex life and make it, like, all the things I tell you all, make it great. And I guess she probably said, yeah, I'd love to read what you wrote. And then she had some fuel and ammunition. She had some instruction. She had some guidance. She knew how sex works, that in a way, this is why everyone loved 50 Shades of Grey, for example. Erotica is totally underrated, I think, and there's not enough of it. Because you could write your own, you guys. No one's caring about your spelling errors, even if you're a great writer. No one cares. Like, you could speak it out into your phone, and Siri or
whoever
can do it for you. But what I'm saying is that 50 Shades of Grey, it wasn't that it was an amazing, you know, well-written book or novel masterpiece. It was that women were reading it, and they were able to... on their own, and they were hearing things and reading words about being, you know, many women have fantasies, the feminine fantasy to be submissive in the bedroom. Not that we want to be locked up and use handcuffs, sometimes we do. We want to be spanked, but we want someone to be dominant over us. Just a fantasy we have. And so in that book that happened, you saw how it could all happen. It was very romantic, and it was just accessible on, I think it was the first book, erotic on the iPad or whatever it was, that you could hide it. But people got into it, and it was words. Brain is the largest sex organ. And so when we're just coming home to our partners night after night, and we're like trying to figure it out, you want our partner to initiate, we don't know what to do. A lot of times your partner's not initiating, or they're holding back because we're in our heads and we're worried. So Kenny, he had to do all the initiating, and he was worried that he had to do it wrong and still in his head anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of responsibility often on one partner over the other. The other one's just worried that they're not, and one's worried that they're doing it wrong. We're all fucking in our heads. And we are keeping ourselves from, we are putting ourselves in this sex crisis dungeon.
Yeah, and I think the cool part about Kenny's situation is that he wrote it as kind of like about him and his wife.
Yeah, exactly.
So she was able to read it and literally put herself into that situation and like think about it from her own imagination. Because I think with some people who don't prefer watching porn is because they don't find the right kind of porn, and then it's hard for them to see the people and then put themselves in that place.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie. He was like, wear that black underwear and bra and put your hair in front of your breasts. And I picture coming walking in the door and you're sitting on our couch very specifically. And mm-hmm. then we go up into the bedroom and there's handcuffs. Like it's, and it was her, their names in it. So she didn't have to worry that she wasn't blonde or she wasn't, yeah. you know, particularly skilled in some place. It was like about the two of them, which I think that fantasy, you guys, is so healthy. It's actually, people who have healthy fantasy have a healthy sex life. They're intertwined. And so I think if you can, when I say to you, talk to your partner about your fantasies and you don't know, this would also be a great jumping off point with Kenny to say, maybe you write it with your partner together. Why don't you guys, if you guys are that kind of couple and you don't know, maybe together you figure out what the fantasy is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to come up with ways to use it, to Kennyize it.
All right. Should we take this email?
Yes.
Here?
I'm wanting to read this.
Okay. So this is from Michelle, 50 in Wisconsin. Dear Emily, I'm happily married to my husband for almost 30 years and want to take him to a strip club where we'll both get lap dances. We've discussed this for a few years, so why not actually do it? I have gone before, but never had a lap dance, and I always end up feeling uncomfortable because there's not that many female spectators. I'm not into women, but I think it could still be a turn on. I feel bad for the women working there, etc. How can I get past that and just have fun?
Oh, okay. I like this question. Okay, Michelle. It sounds like you guys have a really great relationship, and I love that you've been talking about it and that you've discussed it and you want to do it together. I think that's great. So I think as far as like, here's the thing. Go to a strip club, think of it like an experience. Like they are there, like you are helping them. They're there to make money. They make money by getting lap dances. If you could just be as connected with your partner, your husband, as possible when you get there, and just enjoy it, and just not worry, because you're in your head, what are people going to think? And you're the spectators. No one there is looking at you going, look at that. Everyone at a strip club is there. Believe me, if they are looking at anything, it is not you getting a lap dance. They're looking at the women, they're looking at the dances. It is not about you. So that's one place where I think you could let yourself just get into this really fun new experience that you've never done in 30 years. These are the kind of things that can truly spice up. These are the things that can spice up a relationship. One thing like this, and then you guys could try something else. So the next time you have sex, you'll be talking about it in the bedroom. So, and I don't think it should feel bad for the women working there. I mean, these days, you know, a lot of strippers I know and dancers, it doesn't have the same like connotations as it used to. You know, I think that they make really good livings and they're enjoying, maybe they're there because, you know, I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of different reasons, but most people I know dance and they look back at those years when they were doing it as like fond years. They made the choices, they made good money, and then they get out of it or they're in it forever. And it's a beautiful way to express themselves. I think you can't know. You can't know, and you can't bother yourself with. I think that this is probably one of the things that you probably do in your sex life overall. And you're a pleaser, I'm sure. And you're like a very caring woman with an open heart, and you're worried about everyone else around you, but your own pleasure. So you guys need to go to the strip club and relax. Have a couple drinks, just get into your body with your husband and have fun with it. Wear that sexy thing that you haven't worn in a while that you've been kind of holding on to. You've been waiting for a night. And do you, because let me tell you this. Couples who try new things together and play together, they say couples who play together stay together. And it's true, because what I mean by that is like, you guys need the novelty to keep yourselves connected. And when you do something novel in a relationship, whether it's skydiving or going to a strip club or, you know, cooking together, that's all going to fire those same love hormones, chemicals, and the sex chemicals that are going to connect you, the bonding. And it's going to be thrilling, the dopamine. And so that's what you need. And this is kind of, I love that you're a little nervous about it, but let's just get you out of your head and into the moment, that there's no risk. You're going for a night and then you're going to laugh dance. And what if you really like it? And then you go home and you guys can talk about it in bed. And it becomes like your dirty talk. And it becomes like, remember that time we went? And then maybe you'll go back, or maybe you'll learn how to, give him a lap dance. That's really hot to like learn. That's what I was doing in those strip dance. The Sheila Kelly, who does the dance workshops for women that I was talking about earlier, like they teach you how to, and it's all women, but they teach you how to move and be in your body. It's native, like the S curve of your body, and learning just how to walk and talk and feel sexy. And so that's what it's about, like being in your body and being in the moment. And it's hot to give your partner a strip tease. give them a little lap dance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be perfect. Just they're going to appreciate the gesture and something different. This is another great thing to practice on your own. Mm-hmm. Like, give yourself a lap dance. Like, when you're at home and I'm telling you, look in the mirror and, like, be sexy and look at yourself. Like, how would you move? How would you dance?
Yeah, I don't think you should dry run.
Don't dry run, because then you'll get in your head and feel insecure about it.
Practice.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, take those notes, you know, just like little mental notes of what they're doing on stage or on the lap dance, and be like, ooh, I liked what she did when she was moving that way. Let's see how it looks like.
Yeah.
Take it into the bedroom and do it.
When she's getting the lap dance, kind of be like, oh, what's she doing here that feels good? Because really a lot of it is a feeling thing and what to do in the moment. So I think the more into it you can be and the more turned on you are in the moment, the more your husband will be, and it's going to be an awesome night, Michelle. So let us know how it goes there in Wisconsin. All right, everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show today. I love hearing from you. So let me know what you like, what kind of shows you'd like to hear more of. What are you into? Even if you don't have a question, just let us know. I'm always trying to make it a show that feels good to you and to everyone here at the Sex with Emily family. By the way, they're awesome. Thank you to my amazing team, Ken, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, let's be honest. If you're over 40, there's a 50-50 chance that you're one of 39 million men affected by erectile dysfunction. And if you're not, you might be one of the 39 million partners that's affected as well. I know not everyone experiences it the same, and your doctor may have it totally under control with medication, which is great. But I hear from plenty of you who have totally lost hope. You tried it all, or so it seems, but I'm telling you, there's something you can do to fight back, and that your sex life is not over, and that ED is definitely not something to be ashamed of. Boston Scientific is leading the charge to eliminate the ED stigma and to get men and their partners talking about their condition. Their surgical implants have helped almost 500,000 men return to normal. Yeah, normal sexual function. Men who thought they tried everything. Time to lose the shame and take control. To learn more about Boston Scientific's treatment options, go to sexwithemily.com/no-shame. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/NOSHAME today.